Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 14th. This is Kathy and your other readers are Jeremy, Pam and Anjana. The editor this week is Mark. All are members of Team 1. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. This week we are sponsored by Bridge Garage Services, which is just behind Pets at Home, Apsley. They have over 30 years experience in all types of car and van MOT and servicing. Telephone 235 412. Their website is bridgegaragehemel.co.uk. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines: drug driver jailed, 40 new jobs created by Lidl launch, and bidding for landmark buildings. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Jeremy. A motorist from Hemel Hempstead who was driving over the limit when he was involved in a serious collision has been jailed. Martin Chapman, aged 42, of Woodview in Hemel Hempstead, was sentenced to 20 months in jail at a St Albans Crown Court hearing on Friday. Chapman seriously injured a six-year-old boy when he caused a crash on the A1M. At a previous hearing, he pleaded guilty to one count of causing serious injury by dangerous driving and one count of driving whilst over the prescribed limit for drugs. St Albans Crown Court heard that Chapman had been driving his family northbound on the A1M when the incident happened on November the 3rd, 2024, at around 6 p.m. During sentencing, the judge described the crash as horrific and said it was a miracle it was not worse. Hertfordshire Constabulary says that Chapman failed to notice that traffic was slowing for the exit slip at Stevenage Junction 8 and collided with the vehicle in front, crushing it. The court heard that a six-year-old boy who was sat in his child seat in the back was crushed and trapped. Hertfordshire Constabulary disclosed that the boy suffered a fractured eye socket along with other minor facial and body injuries. The police force adds that the boy's dad, who was driving the vehicle, was knocked unconscious as a result of the collision. Both victims had to be pulled out of the vehicle along with the mum and sister. All were taken to hospital for immediate treatment, Hertfordshire Constabulary confirmed. Chapman and his family were also taken to hospital to be checked over, St Albans Crown Court heard. A drug swipe conducted by police officers uncovered that Chapman was more than nine times over the limit for prescribed drugs. Sergeant Chris Wales from the Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Road Policing Unit said, "This was a hugely traumatic incident and I must commend the small boy's bravery. He and his family could have been killed by the recklessness of Chapman, who decided to get behind the wheel whilst under the influence of drugs. I hope this sentence serves as a lesson to all those who think it is acceptable to drive after taking drugs."
Hello, this is Pam. A new Lidl store has opened in Tring, and the global retailer says the launch of the supermarket has created an additional 40 jobs. Thursday the 12th has been confirmed as the official launch date for the new supermarket. The international retailer says this is a multi-million pound project that includes food bank initiatives to support the local community. Lidl revealed the sales space at the new venue covers 1,251 square metres and includes an in-store bakery, toilets with baby changing facilities, and an outlook which the company's supermarkets are known for. Located in Icknield Way, the store will be opened after an official ribbon cutting ceremony starting at 7:45 a.m, which will be led by Tring Mayor Councillor Paul de Koning. Lidl says that food sampling and special giveaways have been organised for the opening day. The car park for the new shop includes bicycle parking and rapid electric vehicle chargers. Regional Head of Property for Lidl GB, Kate Blelock, said, "We are thrilled to officially open a Lidl store for the first time in Tring. This fantastic new store is a direct response to the local demand for high-quality, affordable groceries, and we couldn't be prouder to welcome the community inside. A huge thank you goes out to everyone who helped us turn these plans into a reality. We can't wait to start making a real difference to your weekly shop." Lidl now has over 1,000 stores in the UK and has opened 19 new stores in the past 8 weeks. Previously, the nearest Lidl store to Tring was located in nearby Aylesbury.
Hello, this is Anjana. Hertfordshire County Council has drawn up plans to dispose of Grade 2 listed Heath Barn in Hemel Hempstead, which has been earmarked for residential development. But even if the decision is taken to sell the site, the community group, Our Heath Barn, could still be granted time to pull together a bid for the landmark buildings before any general marketing begins. Heath Barn, which is believed to be one of the oldest sets of buildings in Hemel Hempstead, was formerly used by the County Council as a music centre. But since the music centre was moved to refurbished facilities at the Hemel Hempstead School next door, the building has remained empty. In September, permission was granted for the County Council-owned site on St John's Road to be developed for residential use. But Our Health Barn, which has been set up as a community interest company, CIC, wants to convert the property into a creative and well-being community hub and cafe. On Wednesday, January 28th, the future of the site was considered by a meeting of the County Council's Resources and Performance Cabinet panel. Councillors considered whether the site should be declared surplus to the council's requirements or not. Should it be declared surplus and available for disposal, they considered whether Our Heath Barn should be given time to work on their bid before the launch of a more general marketing. Initially, the proposal had been that the CIC would have 3 months to submit a viable bid in parallel with the site being openly marketed. But the Cabinet also considered a suggestion that a window should be allowed for the CIC before the land was generally marketed for sale. Ultimately, however, the decision on any next steps will be taken by a future meeting of the Council's Cabinet. Presenting the initial proposal, the Councillor's Director of Property, Sass Pledger, had told councillors that they planned to work with the community group to help them draw up a community bid, as well as exploring alternative options. But she also stressed the council's requirement to secure best consideration for the property, as well as an assurance that the Grade 2 property would be protected.
Local councillor Adrian England highlighted the creation of the CIC by the community group and their attempts to keep the buildings publicly accessible, as well as the need to act. "I recognise that this asset is not one that Hertfordshire County Council can let sit as it is," he said. "I think it has been empty since 2019, which is a long time. So something must be done, and perhaps there is a middle way." Addressing the panel, Councillor England highlighted questions that have been raised about the council's valuation of the site and the impact this could have on future development. He suggested a proposal was being considered that could include residential development and community use, and called for the CIC to be allowed a 3-month window with open marketing of the site delayed until the end of that time. "I don't think that a window can be allowed for the CIC if the site is openly marketed at the same time," he said. "So I would like the open marketing of the site to be delayed to the end of that window." Following the debate, the panel backed a recommendation that, should the Cabinet agree that the site was surplus and should be disposed of, the CIC should have a 2-month exclusive window to work on their business case without interference from the wider market. They also agreed to recommend that, following that, there should be a 2-month period where the site was on the open market. Unusually, it was also agreed that there should then be a further report on the results of the marketing and recommendations on the way forward would be presented to the Cabinet panel. The recommendations of the Cabinet panel will be considered by a future meeting of the Council's Cabinet, which will make a decision on the next steps.
A fleet of e-bikes will be available to rent in Hemel Hempstead, Dacorum Borough Council has announced. A 3-year trial with an option for 2 further years has been agreed for the area. It is the first time e-bikes will be available to rent in the town, and the initial bikes will be placed between Hemel Hempstead railway station and the Maylands area. E-bikes are being made available to the public to lower the number of short as alternative to a short car drive. It is hoped that e-bikes will make cycling more viable in the hilly areas of Hemel Hempstead. There is scope to expand the scheme, and the Council has highlighted similar trials taking place in southwest Hertfordshire. Funding for the scheme has come from Community Infrastructure Levy, which developers building homes in Dacorum have paid. At this time, the Council has not selected a transport company to run the scheme on its behalf. Councillor Adrian England said, "Electric bikes means hills don't stop you, open up riding short trips to a far wider range of people. And this trial will help us understand how an e-bike infrastructure network for one of the biggest towns in Hertfordshire can make space for people who currently get stuck in traffic at rush hour. This option will make it easier for people to choose healthier, cleaner, easier and more sustainable ways of getting around Hemel Hempstead, helping more residents get in the saddle and move in the right direction."
A medical secretary from Hemel Hempstead, who started her NHS career at the age of 17, is celebrating 50 years at West Hearts Hospitals teaching hospitals, having dedicated her entire working life to a single department and one trust. Pauline Wingate's career began in April 1974 after completing her medical secretary training at West Hearts College in Watford. Shortly afterwards, she joined the rheumatology department at Peace Memorial Hospital, which at the time consisted of just one consultant. Today, Pauline manages the medical secretary team for rheumatology, endocrinology, and diabetes at Watford General Hospital, supporting 5 consultants and a service that has grown far beyond anything imagined in those early days. This year has been particularly memorable for Pauline. She marked her 50th anniversary at West Hearts with a celebration at Sopwell House in St Albans, where her very first consultant, now in his 80s, joined her colleagues to honour her 5 decades of service. Throughout her career, Pauline has earned respect through the relationships she has built. For more than half a century, she has supported tens of thousands of rheumatology patients, becoming a trusted and inspirational figure across the Watford community.
To continue, Pauline said, "Some of the greatest changes have come with the expansion of the service I've worked in since the start of my career. There have been major advancements in the treatment of patients with inflammatory diseases, along with a vast increase in the number of patients we care for. Over the years, Pauline has become a familiar and trusted name to local GPs, patients, and colleagues across the NHS, with many knowing Pauline by first name. She was also recently named a finalist for a Star of the Hearts Award, the Trust's annual staff recognition event, reflecting the lasting impact she has made on so many. The Trust, which manages Watford General, Hemel Hempstead and St Albans City Hospitals, recently held its Long Service Awards to recognise staff who have completed more than 15 years of service. The event celebrates workforce milestones across West Hearts and the wider NHS, with 5 colleagues marking 45 years of service and a further 6 celebrating 40 years at the Trust. This year, the number of staff eligible for a Long Service Award represented a combined total of around 2,700 years of NHS service."
West Hart's Teaching Hospital NHS Trust is showcasing how it is leading the way in modern cancer care, with its colorectal cancer team delivering some of the most innovative treatments available in the country. To mark World Cancer Day on the 4th of February, West Hart's is highlighting how the combination of digital prehabilitation, robotic surgery, and virtual hospital care is giving patients across West Hertfordshire access to some of the most advanced cancer treatment in England. With one in two people expected to develop cancer during their lifetime, this approach demonstrates how technology, data and innovation can improve recovery, support safer early discharge, and deliver more personalised care for patients. This model of care closely aligns with the ambitions of the National Cancer Plan launched today, which emphasises faster diagnosis, quicker access to treatment, and better health outcomes, helping to position the UK as a world leader in cancer care. This year's World Cancer Day theme is United by Unique, and West Hart's colorectal cancer service reflects this, offering a uniquely innovative approach to patient care. One of the UK's leading robotic colorectal cancer centres, West Hart's is a national leader in robotic colorectal cancer surgery, with the Trust performing 135 robotic colorectal cancer resections in the past 12 months. This is more than double the national average of 61 procedures per provider, according to national benchmarking data. This scale of surgery has enabled a fully embedded robotic colorectal cancer service delivered by highly trained multidisciplinary teams and aligned with national quality standards. Equitable access to minimally invasive cancer surgery. All patients on the Trust's colorectal cancer pathway undergoing minimally invasive colorectal cancer surgery are treated through robotic-assisted procedures. This ensures that access to advanced minimally invasive surgery is based on clinical need rather than surgeon availability. Subspeciality variation or timing, promoting equitable, consistent care for all eligible patients. Among the shortest hospital stays in the country, national benchmarking data shows that West Hart's has some of the shortest hospital stays in England following minimally invasive colorectal cancer surgery. Only 5.6% of patients experienced a length of stay of 9 days or more, which is well below the national average, reflecting the Trust's leadership in post-operative recovery, supported by a high volume of robotic-assisted procedures.
And continuing on with this story, digital innovation across the entire cancer pathway. West Hart's prides itself on whole pathway approach to cancer care using digital prehabilitation to enable patients to improve their physical, nutritional, and mental well-being prior to surgery to improve their recovery post-surgery, while the robotic surgery itself also supports this, as it is much less invasive than traditional techniques. Some patients are even discharged as early as within 24 hours, as they can be supported through the Trust's leading virtual hospital program. The virtual hospital gives patients the opportunity to be monitored at home with 24-hour clinical monitoring from Watford General, providing hospital-level care from the comfort of their own home. Patients' experience and confidence in care. The patient feedback speaks for itself. Scores for patient satisfaction for the Trust's virtual hospital exceeded 8.5 out of 10, with more than 90% of patients reporting that they preferred recovering at home with virtual hospital support rather than remaining in hospital. Combining virtual care with robotically assisted procedures is proven to positively impact patient experience while maintaining their safety every step of the way. Vanash Patel, lead for Colorectal Cancer Pathway, describes how the pathway puts patients first. The combination of digital technology with high-volume specialist surgery and compassionate care illustrates how Westheart's modern cancer services are proven to provide better outcomes, experiences, and use of NHS resources, ensuring that innovation translates to meaningful benefit for patients with cancer.
Plans to deliver new affordable homes and regenerate key areas across Decorum have taken an important step forward following Cabinet approval of the first investment plan for the Decorum Investment Partnership at a meeting held on February 3rd. The equal public-private partnership between Decorum Borough Council and award-winning house builder The Hill Group has been formed to deliver new homes, support regeneration, and generate long-term income streams to help support council services. By working together, the council and Hill aim to ensure development across the borough is well planned, high quality, and brings real benefits to local communities. The approved investment plan sets out how new housing and regeneration projects could be brought forward over the coming years. It identifies priority sites and provides a clear and structured way to progress development that supports the borough's long-term growth. Councillor Sally Symington, leader of Decorum Borough Council, said, "I am committed to creating a place where people are proud to live, work and spend time. The approval of our first investment plan marks an exciting moment for Decorum. It sets out how we can accelerate the delivery of much-needed affordable homes and wider regeneration that genuinely benefits our communities. Through this partnership, we are not just planning new developments, we are building vibrant, high-quality places that people are proud to call home." Tom Hill, Managing Director for The Hill Group, comments, "This first investment plan provides a strong foundation for the Decorum Investment Partnership. By working collaboratively with the Council, we can bring forward high-quality, sustainable developments that respond to local needs, while delivering long-term value for the borough. A central focus of the partnership will be to support the regeneration of Hemel Hempstead Town Centre into a more vibrant place to live, work and visit. Alongside this, the partnership will also look at neighbourhood sites across the borough, maximising opportunities for affordable housing and local improvements. Three council-owned sites in Hemel Hempstead have been identified as priority sites in the inaugural investment plan. Collectively, these sites offer opportunities to deliver new homes, support regeneration and contribute to the ongoing revitalisation of the town centre and surrounding neighbourhoods. The former Civic Centre site represents a strategically important town centre redevelopment opportunity. The site offers the potential for a high-quality development that supports the Council's vision for a more vibrant, welcoming and sustainable town centre. Early feasibility work indicates the potential to deliver over a range of affordable and market sale homes, subject to planning permission."
To continue, Cherry Bounce, to the north of the town centre, could deliver affordable and market sale homes within a landscape-led development to help meet local housing needs. The Water Gardens car parks occupy a prominent and strategically important location between the residential neighbourhoods along Leighton Buzzard Road and Hemel Hempstead Town Centre. The Council is currently commissioning a master plan for the Town Centre, and Decorum Investment Partnership will support this process by undertaking initial feasibility studies on the car park's site. Any development proposal will be brought forward as part of the development of this town centre master plan, and importantly, consideration will be given to future parking requirements, including for the proposed Hemel Hempstead campus on Market Square. Any development proposals would also consider the preservation of the historic water gardens, which the Council maintains to green flag status. Approval of the investment plan means work can now begin on the next stage, including early design work and pre-application engagement on the Civic and Cherry Bounce sites. Importantly, this will include consultation with residents and local businesses, giving people the opportunity to share their views and help shape proposals as they are developed. Each development will also deliver wider benefits for the local community through the partnership's social value plan. This will include creating apprenticeship, training, and employment opportunities for local people, working with local schools, colleges, and employment providers, and supporting local businesses wherever possible. The partnership will also look to invest in community initiatives, promote inclusive and accessible design, encourage walking and cycling, and deliver environmental benefits such as improved green spaces and increased biodiversity. Together, these commitments will help ensure the partnership delivers not just new homes, but lasting benefits for communities across Dacorum.
Police officers are investigating claims that a teenage girl was sexually assaulted by a man on a bus departing from Hemel Hempstead. Last Wednesday, February the 4th, a girl was allegedly sexually assaulted on a 1B carousel bus heading towards High Wycombe after departing from Hemel Hempstead. It is claimed that between 4:15 p.m. and 5 p.m, a man made inappropriate comments about a teenage girl after asking her for help with his phone. According to witnesses, he then inappropriately touched her shoulders before she moved to a different area on the bus. Once the bus stopped at High Wycombe bus station, a teenage male allegedly confronted the man, asking him to apologise to the girl. Thames Valley Police confirmed a 58-year-old man from Tame has been arrested on suspicion of committing sexual assault and remains in police custody. Investigating Officer PC William Davis, based at High Wycombe Police Station, said, "I am appealing for the members of the public who witnessed this incident, particularly if they have video footage, to please come forward with any information which may assist our investigation. Anyone with information should call 101 or make an online report via our website, quoting crime reference number 432 600 58447. Our investigation continues at a pace, with officers deployed across the area providing visible reassurance patrols. So if you have any information, questions or concerns, then please speak to them."
Henkel has announced the return of its flagship STEM education program, Forscherwelt, to Maple Grove Primary School in Hemel Hempstead, as part of the second rollout of the program in the UK in partnership with the Engineering Development Trust, EDT. Following a successful launch in 2025, the program will reach 18 primary schools nationwide this year, bringing hands-on science learning to children aged 8 to 10. A science-led company operating across both consumer and industrial markets, Henkel is home to brands including Schwarzkopf, Pritt, Loctite, Dylon and Blue. Through Forscherwelt, Henkel draws on its scientific expertise to inspire curiosity, problem-solving and early engagement with science, technology, engineering and mathematics, STEM. Forscherwelt, which translates as Researcher's World, is Henkel's global education initiative designed to encourage children to think and act like real researchers. Launched in 2011 in Germany, the programme now reaches around 115,000 children across 21 countries, delivered through school partnerships and education providers worldwide. Forscherwelt uses practical experiments linked to everyday applications of science, including adhesives, washing and cleaning, cosmetics and sustainability, helping pupils understand how science shapes the world around them. In 2026, Fourchevelt will be delivered in 12 new UK schools alongside 6 returning schools, following engagement with over 1,000 students across 19 schools last year. Sutinder Bandal, President Henkel UK and Ireland, added, "Early exposure to STEM is crucial. Fourchevelt gives young students the opportunity to explore science in a practical, engaging way, helping to build the curiosity and skills needed for the future." The programme is once again being delivered in partnership with EDT, the leading educational charity that connects young people with industry through its Industrial Cadets Awards. Julie Feast, CEO at EDT, said, "We are delighted to continue our partnership with Henkel for a second year, building on the strong impact of Fourchevelt's first year in the UK. The response from schools and students in 2025 was hugely positive, and this long-term collaboration demonstrates the real difference working together can make in bringing real-world science into classrooms. By combining our experiences, we are committed to empowering young people with the skills, confidence, and inspiration they need to thrive in the future STEM workforce, and we look forward to building on this momentum in 2026. The programme will continue to roll out in schools across the UK over the coming months, supporting early engagement with STEM subjects and helping to inspire the next generation of scientists and innovators.
Hemel Hempstead Town FC has asked for permission to replace ageing and failing floodlights. The club, currently in the hunt for promotion from the National League South, wants to get rid of the current halogen floodlights and replace them with LED floodlights, while keeping the existing columns. According to a planning application submitted to Decorum Borough Council, the existing system at the club's Vauxhall Road ground is expensive to use and maintain, while the proposed LED lights would be more efficient and give significantly less light pollution. The application continues, "Installation of the most up-to-date lighting will also enable successful progression up the football pyramid in the future. This installation is required to meet ground grading requirements for the league and will ensure the future of the club for many years, not only at the current level of competition, but it will also enable opportunity for progression through promotion. The existing lights have come to the end of their economic life, and the decision to replace them at this time is because funding of 70% towards the cost of replacements is available through the Football Foundation." The club has a total of 875 adult and junior members, with a further 59 teams beyond the men's first team, including an under-18 team, 3 academy sides, and 55 junior teams. The application for planning permission states that the floodlights could be used until 6 p.m. at weekends and until 10 p.m. on weekdays during the winter months. The application, put together in conjunction with Grassroots Power CIC, says that careful positioning and choice of manufacturer will minimise the visual impact both at night and during the day.
A new care home in Tring has made a generous donation to a local community-led group. To celebrate its upcoming opening on Miswell Lane this summer, Care UK's Eggleton House presented Tring U3A with a £500 donation. U3A is a nationwide network of locally run groups whose purpose is to provide retired and semi-retired people with opportunities to share their experiences and learn from one another's expertise. Each group hosts a wide range of events for people to come together and learn for fun, while exploring new ideas, skills, and activities. Sue Gordon, Tring U3A Membership Secretary, said, "On behalf of Tring U3A, I would like to express our gratitude to Care UK for their kind donation. This contribution will be advantageous for TRING U3A members and will aid TRING U3A in achieving its charitable goals, which focus on promoting education and related activities that facilitate learning and personal growth for older people and retirees living in and around TRING. Once complete, the multi-million pound purpose-built Eggleton House will provide residential, dementia and respite care for up to 72 people, with facilities including a cinema, hair and beauty salon, and pub. Jake Higgins, Development Project Manager at Care UK, said, "We are delighted to be supporting TRING U3A. The group's commitment to providing retired members of the community with new skills and experiences aligns perfectly with our vision for Eggleton House. Eggleton House is our third home in Hertfordshire and follows the success of Snowdrop House, which opened in Ware in 2017, highlighting our commitment to enhancing the standard of care in the region. As we look ahead to opening our new care home in the summer, it's important to us that we're not just building a home, but also becoming part of the community. TRING U3A's approach and dedication to inclusive, joyful events reflect the kind of environment we want to foster, one where residents feel connected, valued, and engaged. Designed to enable residents to lead active and fulfilled lives while also promoting independence, Eggleton House will incorporate plenty of space for leisure activities and hobbies. The layout of the building will be configured into a series of individual suites, each having a dedicated lounge dining room to facilitate the creation of close-knit communities.
Partu, one of the UK's largest day nursery providers, which operates Bourne Explorers in Hemel Hempstead, has appointed Tiger Lily Training as its approved paediatric first aid partner. Established in 2004 and with a team of 175 trainers, Tiger Lily delivers accredited courses to over 100,000 learners each year through a network of more than 100 training centres nationwide. In addition to in-person training, Partu team members will have access to online refresher training to ensure their knowledge is kept fully up to date. There will also be an opportunity for families with children at Partu nurseries to learn the basics of first aid under the guidance of Tiger Lily training professionals. Simon Booth Liddell, Partu Head of People Experience, said, "Partu are really excited to be partnering with Tiger Lily. Their approach to learning for everyone, including for parents, aligns incredibly closely with our value of continuous learning and our overall purpose. From all the reviews we took part in, Tiger Lily offered the best in availability, locations, and with administration support too." Samantha Rhodes, Partu Managing Director, said, "Tiger Lily is a highly respected leader in first aid for the early years sector, with an outstanding reputation for excellence. Its numerous training centres around the country means that Partu team members will in most cases have a short distance to travel to attend courses. As part of our agreement, first aid training will also be delivered at our nurseries over weekends. The health and well-being of the children will always be the absolute priority at every Partu setting. Our partnership with Tiger Lily will serve to further bolster our commitment to providing the highest standards of care." Amber Parr, Tiger Lily Training Founding Director, said, "We're delighted to be partnering with Partu to deliver their first aid training. It's great to partner with a company that's so passionate about equipping their teams with practical skills that help keep children safe, supported, and cared for every day."
A special community art event organised by local artist James Lark of Oh My Art, based in Abbots Langley, recently brought people together to experience the powerful impact of creativity, connection and shared time. The charity event, held in support of the Alzheimer's Society, was kindly sponsored by BNRG Limited. The session invited people living with dementia to take part in a relaxed, music-led art activity using oil pastels inspired by the works of Vasily Kandinsky. Set to classical music, participants explored colour, shape, and movement in a calm, supportive environment that focused on enjoyment rather than outcomes. James Lark said the event was a powerful reminder of the importance of giving time to activities that support mental health, well-being, and social connection, particularly for those who may feel isolated or vulnerable. Art has a unique way of breaking down barriers, James explained. It creates space for conversation, expression, and connection. I thoroughly enjoyed spending time talking with participants, hearing about their fascinating lives, and creating artwork together. It was incredibly moving to see how creativity in music helped people feel relaxed, engaged, and valued. One of Oh My Art's core aims is to increase access to art and creativity for those who may be disadvantaged or vulnerable, while also encouraging people of all backgrounds and abilities to explore how creativity can enhance their mental health and well-being. James added, "You don't have to be an expert to enjoy art. When we remove pressure and focus on the experience, creativity becomes something everyone can access and benefit from." The event also highlighted the vital role local businesses can play in supporting their communities, with BNRG Limited sponsorship helping to make the day possible and impactful.
A knitwear brand is opening a new store in Hemel Hempstead, which is set to open next month. The Edinburgh Woolen Mill is opening a new store on March the 19th at 219 to 221 Marlowe's. Since opening its first store in the Scottish city in 1946, the knitwear specialist retailer has since expanded to over 200 shops across the country. Other stores in the Edinburgh Woolen Mill portfolio are located across high streets, tourist districts, and garden centres. The Edinburgh Woolen Mill has announced that giveaways will be available to shoppers who visit on the opening day next month. A spokesperson for the company said, "To celebrate this milestone, staff will greet the first 20 customers who make a purchase in store with an Edinburgh Woolen Mill goodie bag, while prizes will also be hidden in the store." Les McLean, area manager for the store, said, "We are excited to welcome visitors to our new store to explore our wonderful collections. It's going to be a great addition to the local retail mix." The Edinburgh Woolen Mill sells men's and women's wear brands such as Country Rose, Isle, Honour Milburn, James Pringle and P. Field, as well as a full range of textiles, gifts and accessories. These accessories include hats, scarves, gloves and other items. It is known for its knitwear and cashmere collections and sells a variety of jumpers and cardigans. It also stocks shirts, polo shirts, chinos and high-quality trousers. Last year, the nearly 100-year-old brand opened new stores in Stratford and Northamptonshire.
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by What's On and Sport.
This week in history, February the 15th, 1942, Singapore surrendered to Japan, a heavy and far-reaching military defeat, said Winston Churchill, of the loss of the fortress. February the 16th, 1990, Royal Navy wives marched through Plymouth and Portsmouth to oppose a Ministry of Defence decision to allow wrens to go to sea. February the 17th, 1959, the Queen allowed Marlborough House to be used by the government, and as a result it became the Home Commonwealth Secretariat and the Commonwealth Foundation. On this day last year, Sir Keir Starmer called for the US to provide a backstop to deter Russia from attacking Ukraine again after meeting with European leaders for emergency talks on the future of the war. February 18, 1930, American astronomer Clyde Tombaugh discovered the planet Pluto from a series of pictures taken the previous month at Lowell Observatory. On this day last year, Thames Water won approval to borrow £3 billion to prevent imminent collapse in a high-cost loan deal described by a judge as eye-watering. The High Court ruled that the firm could press on with crucial cash injection, even as some of its lenders and a Liberal Democrat MP said that they would appeal against it.
The worst driving habits. For over 40 million of us Brits who own vehicles, driving is a necessity. But it can be easy to forget that we're in charge of a machine that can cause some serious damage. Here are some of the worst driving habits. Driving while tired. 38% admit to driving while tired, despite it being statistically more dangerous than drink driving. Driving the morning after drinking. 23% have driven the morning after drinking while worrying they were over the limit. Mobile phone use. 43% of drivers aged 17 to 24 admit to texting while driving, making them four times more likely to crash. Not wearing a seatbelt. One in four people killed on UK roads were not wearing seatbelts.
Funfest Hemel Hempstead, an Ofsted-registered local holiday club based at Broadfield Academy in Hemel, is offering a programme of creative, educational and play-led activities for children aged 3 to 12 during the week of 16th to the 20th of February. Many local families are juggling work and childcare during school holidays, and our club provides a safe and engaging environment with a broad range of themed activities, including Horrible Histories, The Tudors, hands-on activities and stories exploring the fascinating and funny side of Tudor life, Harry Potter Experience, imaginative wizarding-themed games and crafts, Mad About Science, fun experiments and discovery activities, Lights, Camera, Action, drama games and creative storytelling, Crafty Creations with a Mother's Day theme, Bench Ball and Cheerleading, active team fun, Sand Art Creations and Jewellery Making sessions. This programme is designed to stimulate creativity, support learning through play and help parents with reliable holiday childcare in our community. Places are still available for February half term, with some sessions filling up fast. Our Easter holiday timetable will be live on 23rd of February 2026. Book now at fun-fest.co.uk/Hemel-Hempstead.
Theatre. Sherlock Holmes, The Death and Life, Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, February 14th. Billed as a fantasy based upon a fiction, the play finds Arthur Conan Doyle tiring of his intolerably arrogant Sherlock Holmes and inventing the arch-villain Moriarty to dispose of him. But Doyle's dangerous strategy, combined with his passion for raising the spirits of the dead, has rather more surreal and dramatic consequences than he bargains for. The wryly humorous one-man tale of murder, mystery and the occult promises a light-hearted and intriguing investigation of what happens when fictional characters take on lives and ambitions of their own, quite against the wishes of the author. Visit oldtownhall.co.uk or call Hemel Hempstead 228091 to book. Comedy. Dan Tiernan, All In, Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, February 13th. Expect a blistering hour of stand-up from one of the most acclaimed new voices in comedy, promising explosive energy, razor-sharp punchlines, and tightly packed gags about a man on the brink. Visit oldtownhall.co.uk or call Hemel Hempstead 228091 to book. dance. Matthew Bourne's The Red Shoes, Milton Keynes Theatre, February 10th to 14th. A timeless fairy tale and Oscar-winning movie, The Red Shoes has captivated audiences and inspired generations of dancers with its powerful tale of obsession, possession, and one girl's dream to be the greatest dancer in the world. Victoria Page lives to dance, but her ambitions become a fierce struggle between the two men who inspire her passion. Matthew Bourne's magical double, Olivia award-winning production, inspired by the legendary Powell and Pressburger film, features the music of Bernard Herrmann. Visit atgtickets.com to book.
More at the Old Town Hall in Hemel Hempstead. Rocket Man Sing-Along, Tuesday the 17th of February at 7 p.m. Enjoy Elton John's story and sing along to his best hits. Ian Stone is Looking for the Wow on Friday the 20th of Feb at 8 p.m. The hugely experienced broadcaster, podcaster and writer stroke comedian delivers his one-man show, not to be missed. For tickets, go to oldtownhall.co.uk/events.
A heartwarming, hilarious and deeply moving story comes to life this spring as Calendar Girls takes to the stage at Boxmoor Playhouse from Wednesday 25th to Saturday 28th of March. Based on the much-loved motion picture, Calendar Girls tells the true story of a group of ordinary women who do something extraordinary, proving that friendship, courage, and a good sense of humour can change lives. Rehearsals for the Hempstead Theatre Company production are now well underway, and ticket sales are already strong, so audiences are encouraged to book early to avoid disappointment. Directed by Maggie Harvey, the show follows six brave ladies who decide to pose, tastefully and cheekily, for a calendar to raise money for blood cancer research. What begins as a light-hearted idea blossoms into a worldwide phenomenon, raising over £6 million for charity. "It's a very moving story," says Maggie, "but it's also very funny indeed. There are tears both on stage and probably in the audience, but there are plenty of laughs, and audiences tend to leave with a smile on their faces." The story's roots lie in Yorkshire in 1998, when Women's Institute member Angela Knowles lost her husband John to non-Hodgkin lymphoma just 5 months after his diagnosis. In his memory, Angela and her WI friends embarked on a fundraising project that captured hearts around the world and continues to inspire today. With its blend of warmth, wit, and emotional honesty, Calendar Girls has become a modern classic, celebrating resilience, friendship, and the power of women supporting one another. Calendar Girls is at the Boxmoor Playhouse from Wednesday 25th until Saturday 28th March. Tickets range from £15 to £19, including concessions. Call 0333 666 3366 or book online at hhtheatreco.com. The production contains partial nudity and is not suitable for anyone under 12. Bright, bold, and blooming with sunflowers, this joyful production promises laughter, tears, and a thoroughly uplifting night at the theatre. Don't wait, check your diaries, and book now.
Tom Baker picked up his first win as Hemel Storm head coach on Saturday as his side eased past Bristol Flyers 2. The Flyers are struggling, winless so far this season and bottom of the table, but Storm remained professional to pick up their first victory in 9 games. It was a solid team performance at the SGS College, with the whole squad playing their part in the 90-52 triumph. It was another good evening for Kai Walker, who starred with starred with 17 points and 14 rebounds. His tenacity and hard work have helped him make a fine impression since moving to Hemel in the summer, and he continued his solid start here. Veeron Easy was thrown in from the start and worked hard in registering 13 points and providing an important physical presence, while captain Sam Newman controlled the game expertly. He had 10 points and another 8 assists, furthering his reputation as the league's premier playmaker. All 10 men available to Baker troubled the scorers, with Darren Nelson-Henry still nursing an injury and Jarvis Chater busy helping the University of Hertfordshire Storm to an NBL Division 2 win. Easy and Braden Inger ensured it was the guests who got off to the flyer, combining to give them a 6-love lead. The majority of their work was done in the first period, aided by an unanswered streak of 17 points. 3 Newman free throws began that run, with Matt Norman and Jack Burnell both connecting from long range as the lead grew to 20. 29-9 was the score. A Mergim Sokoli 3 ended the period, Storms by a landslide at 32-12. Their offence will grab the headlines, but determined work at the other end of the court set the foundations. They restricted the Flyers to 13 in the second quarter, giving up only 25 points across the first half, and that saw them head into the break 54-25 to the good. Any faint hopes of a Flyers comeback were extinguished by 7 straight Storm points to begin the third period, and the hosts never looked like working their way back into the contest. The difference was 35 at the final break, 77-42 in Storm's favour, allowing Baker to rotate his troops, somewhat taking the foot off the gas for the last 10 minutes. Both teams were waiting for the final buzzer to sound in a low-scoring final period, which Storm took 13-10, seeing them romp to a comfortable 90-52 win. It marks their fourth of the season and sees them retake 11th position in the table. They'll be hoping to build on that as they attempt to mount a late playoff push. Next up, they return to the Storm Dome to tackle Loughborough Riders next Saturday.
Hemel Hempstead Town will have been looking to get back in action this week after a day off, thanks to the weather on Saturday. The Tudors game at Bath City was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch, meaning Lee Allinson's men went into Tuesday's match at home to Hampton and Richmond, played after this week's Gazette went to press, with a clear week's rest following the 2-2 draw at Ebbsfleet United last Tuesday. That game saw the Tudors come back from 2-0 down to draw 2-2 thanks to a last-minute goal from New Barnsley loanee Aston Ellard, who had come on as an 82nd-minute substitute just before Isaiah Noel Williams pulled the goal back. Ellard began his career with Coventry City before making the move to Barnsley last summer and announced his arrival with a stunning strike deep into stoppage time. As well as the arrival of Ellard, Hemel also made another signing ahead of the game at Ebbsfleet. Attacker Remaye Campbell has arrived from Hereford FC in the National League North. The Nottingham-born player, having previously featured for clubs including Notts County, Ilkeston Town, Basford United, Matlock Town and Kettering Town, the latter quartet all at Step 3. He made his debut against Dover and also saw a penalty saved at Ebbsfleet. Hemel went into the Hampton game 7th in the National League North standings, 5 points clear of 8th placed Maidstone. This weekend, Hemel will then be at home again as they welcome Worthing. Their visitors went into the midweek games just 3 points above Hemel in 4th place. Although the Tudors could have moved to within a point of them as they played their game in hand on Worthing on Tuesday. Hem will then have a clear week before a trip to another side chasing a playoff place, Horsham, on February 21st.
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 07:18 and 17:15. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the talking newspaper skill." Alexa will ask you which broadcast you want to listen to. When prompted, reply, "Play the Decorum talking newspaper." This part can be tricky. If Alexa offers the wrong station, just say no and then try again. For those who are listening to this week's news via a memory stick, after the music there is the amenities section that gives details of various groups and the contact details of organisations. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and David, your technician for this week.